CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
Hello there. This is CoOptiCast episode 19 for Sunday, May 17th, 2009. I'm Mike Katsifrakis, and I am joined by my humble manservant, Nick Paleo. Say hello, Nick.
Hello, Master. Hello.
You don't have to call me Master. You know I hate that.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to be the whip for you if you do it again.
Really?
Yes.
Hello, Master. Hello.
That. Oh.
Okay, this is a creepy
anyway,
beginning.
That was kind of creepy, but this is the CoOptiCast, and let's roll on in with what you've been playing. Nick, you go first.
Haven't been playing too much, but most of my time has been spent with the new X-Men Origins Wolverine game. Also got Raiden Fighter Aces in the mail from Amazon, which was a cheap $17.99 for Xbox 360.
Excellent.
Yeah, great. Also been spending some time with Space Invaders Extreme that came out on Xbox Live Arcade, and played some Halo Wars for our co-op night. So,
awesome. What do you think of Wolverine? Because I've been playing that too.
I really liked it. I finished it yesterday, last night or this morning. I can't remember. My weekend is kind of a big blur. But it got a little too long, I think. Some of the battles kind of got drug out, and the boss battles were kind of disappointing for the most part, because pretty much everyone could be beat with the same lunge attached to the back and mash the X button thing.
Yeah.
But overall, like, it's a really satisfying game. Like, the combat's just, you know, it's really satisfying. It reminds me of kind of the first time you played, like, God of War or something, where it's just, like, I don't know, there's something about, like, the moves that you do, whether you're lopping a head off or you're, you know, you're picking a guy up and you're slamming him onto a spike on the wall or, I don't know. And the other really great thing about the game, I haven't seen the movie, but there's a lot of content in the game, story-wise. There's all these, like, laptops around to find, and they have all these, like, audio things you can listen to. Kind of tells a story of what's going on, and you really get the whole origin story of Wolverine. And it pretty much, it almost seems like it ends where the first X-Men movie picks up, where Wolverine's kind of trying to figure out who he is. He's a little bit lost, and he doesn't remember.
You're spoiling it for me, man. You're spoiling it.
Well, I mean, you're not. You know how it ends. It ends how it begins, so it's, you know.
Oh, right.
Right, it's a prequel. So you, it's like kind of saying, like, knowing Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader is a spoiler.
Wait, slow down. What?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll agree with pretty much everything you said. Combat, fighting the swarms of guys is great amounts of fun. To me, it falls into the same category as Force Unleashed in that it has one pitfall that really bothers me. In Force Unleashed, you had all these awesome force powers, right?
Right.
Well, that makes you a complete badass from the outset of the game. So what they do is they introduce enemies that are immune to certain attacks. And Wolverine pulls the same trick. It gives you that lunge move. It gives you a duck, like you dodge and you can throw an enemy. Or you can run up and grab them. And by the end of the game, most of the enemies you're fighting are immune to one, several, or all of your main methods of attack.
Yeah.
So it feels artificial. Early on in the game, it teaches you the art of chaining together, like leaping between foes and slashing them a couple times, and you trying to chain everybody so everybody's reeling from the attack at once, and you can unleash one of your super moves and kill everyone. And by the end of the game, it pretty much becomes a game of dodging and blocking and hoping to God that you time the block correctly so you get a counterattack open.
Yeah.
And are able to do one of the context moves on them. But, you know, it's for a licensed game, it's really fun, and I really like the fact that Raven stuck to their guns, that even though the movie was going to be PG-13, they wanted to make a really, really violent Wolverine game. Yeah. And boy, does this game deliver in the violence category.
At times, because Wolverine is taking so much damage and, you know, and regenerating stuff, like, it he's down to just bones, basically, and sometimes, like, and you, that's your character on the screen. I mean, it's just blown off chunks of his body and stuff, and has a nice little subtle way of how it regenerates and he gets back to normal. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's a great amount of fun, and I think everybody should at least give it a rental. It's kind of short, but it's not your standard movie tie-in games, which make me really happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually thought it was a pretty good length. I think if it would have gotten much longer, I would have gotten too bored with it.
I'm kind of tiring on it. I'm thinking it's a little long for what it is. I mean, it's short for most people, but I think you and I are one of a small minority that says, well, yeah. I'm a working dad, or I have a full-time job, and I run a website, and I don't want my games to take 800 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's going to be short for a lot of people. It drags on a bit for people with my mindset, yeah. But it's a good recommendation. I really like it.
Yeah.
So, as well as Wolverine, I've been revisiting Space Invaders Extreme on Xbox Live, played a little bit of co-op with Jason, had some good times there. I think it's really great, and I love what they did with it, but I like the portable versions a little better, even though they don't have the co-op.
Uh-huh.
There's something about the 360 controller that doesn't make it feel quite as tight as it does on the PSP or the DS. But that's a personal thing.
Are you using the D-pad or the analog stick?
I've tried it with both, and neither one felt particularly snappy to me.
I've noticed. I thought the D-pad seemed to lag a little bit behind, but the analog stick seemed a little snappier.
Yeah, but you know me. I can't play arcade games with an analog stick. Street Fighter 4, I'm looking at you. So, since the last podcast, I've been playing a lot more Oblivion. I finally finished the main quests, and I'm working on wrapping up the expansion zone. And, man, that game just has so much good content in it. I can't wait for them to put another Elder Scrolls game out, but I've been playing them since the beginning, so I may be a little biased. Aside from that, I've hit Broken Sword, Shadow of the Templars for the DS, which is a remake of the classic PC adventure game. That it does one thing that makes it a worthwhile recommendation for anybody. If you've ever skipped out on an adventure game because you've heard that they're a pixel hunt, this game eliminates that. It doesn't put hotspots on the screen for you to see right away, but you have like a little magnifying glass and you put your cursor on, you put the stylus on the screen and you drag it around like you're examining stuff, and if you get close to a hotspot, it'll flash, and you'll know that you can hit that. So you'll not be wanting for, that item you should have picked up 3 hours ago, off the bottom of the bum's shoe or something weird like that. You'll always be equipped with what you need. Then it's purely solving the puzzles. And they took a cue from Professor Layton and allowed you to have a hint system. So when you are introduced to a puzzle that you need to solve, it'll pop a little question mark on the screen, which is another nice thing, because sometimes you may not be solving a puzzle, you're just advancing the story, but you don't know that. But it gives you a nice little indicator, and it's a great game, and a lot of people missed it because it was a niche genre on the PC, so I'd give it a shot. And it has 3 sequels, and they're all pretty good except the 4th one. So anywho, let's wrap this up by talking a little bit about Halo Wars, which we both played for the co-op night.
Yep.
I finally got around to playing it, and I'm really enjoying it. And despite my thoughts on RTS games on the console inherently being made a failure, it works pretty well. Like, there's some tough bits, like that protection mission that we did, but
yeah,
for the most part, it works really well, and I like the fact that the AI is good enough you don't have to babysit everything all the time, which is kind of rare these days.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You play something... When we were playing Command & Conquer, we'd have to go deal with something elsewhere, and meanwhile our base gets destroyed because our units decided to just sit there and watch the enemy.
They weren't in that magic like view radius of the units. They wouldn't move.
Yeah, it's... But it's smart, it's fun, and I'm actually surprisingly into the story, so I'll probably attempt to complete that. Moving right along, let's get to this week in co-op. We got a little bit of extra news this week because it seemed like there was a lot of stuff that was worth talking about. So I'm going to move right on in and talk about how Bungie is releasing something called the Hydra Contraption in July that will let players of the single-player and co-op modes, and probably multiplayer too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, anything, any replays you record in it.
It'll let you render out the videos from, you know, your game, and they will convert it into a Windows Media format for a... The article mentioned a nominal fee, but I don't know what that could possibly be.
Yeah.
A couple bucks. You look at something like that, and you think that it would be really cool for, you know, co-op conquest stories, talking about how you did something really awesome, and then you can not only prove it, but you can get multiple camera angles and maybe cut it together if you're so inclined.
Yeah.
Things like Red versus Blue certainly would have loved to have a tool like this a long time ago, because they wouldn't have to be standing in the multiplayer level. They could actually go and clear out single-player zones and wander around. And all in all, it seems like a really, really cool service, and I've really been impressed with the player tools that Bungie's been providing since Halo 3 launched.
My only thing is, I'm kind of disappointed that they're going to charge for this on top of, like, they have that Bungie Pro thing where you get, like, a ridiculous amount of storage on their servers to store this stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is going to be in addition to that.
Lovely.
Right? And then you have games like Hawks, where actually Hawks has a thing where on the PlayStation 3 where you can render to YouTube from the game with no fees. So like there's kind of a precedent there now already of, well, why are we charging people? And I guess their excuse is that it's not being rendered locally in the player's box, but rather it's just going to Bungie, and then Bungie does the rendering and then puts it out there.
What would be nice is if they did something like, I forget the service, but there's a browser testing thing for web developers.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, it'll show you what your website looks like in a certain number of browsers, and it'll render screenshots for you. You can either put it in a queue or pay for premium time, because you know, 10, 20 minutes on the site. You know, if they made this so that it was free, but you had to wait for it, or if you wanted to skip to the front of the line, you could pay a buck or two.
Yeah.
I think that would probably work a little better.
Yeah, definitely.
The big one for the past 2 weeks is the news that there is not going to be campaign co-op in Modern Warfare 2. Although there will be a, what is it, Special Forces mode that has a little bit of co-op in it.
Yeah.
Nick, you want to unleash on this bad boy? Okay.
but yeah, so the news came out about this, and immediately I was actually talking with Jim on IM, who is a resident Call of Duty whore, and I said, "Oh man," I said, "I got the worst possible news for you." I said, "It looks like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, apparently they're dropping the Call of Duty. It's not going to have campaign co-op." And he's like, "What?" And immediately he went on Twitter and he sent replies to the Affinity Ward and 402, who is the community manager. And was like, "What are you guys doing? How can there not be campaign co-op in this?" And their excuse was basically they looked at it and they tried it, but they just couldn't figure a way out for it to work.
Inexcusable.
Yeah, no, you know what? It really is, because here's why. If Treyarch can do it, even if it's half-assed, it's there. They attempted to. I think this is like the same excuse Rockstar uses a lot of times with the GTA games, in that they don't want to take away from the single-player experience. But what they don't understand is, like, for the most part, people will be happy with just having a clone there or something. If they make it known that their intentions isn't to have, like, a true co-op mode, like a Gears of War style one, where it's like, you know, it's built from the ground up to be co-op. It's not like a bonus mode or something like that. If they make that known from the get-go, I don't think it, people would be as upset about it. But I don't know. Apparently they tried. They weren't happy with the way it worked out, even though every Call of Duty game I've ever played, you're always with the squad, except for the one freaking mission where you're miraculously, you know, lone wolf style. That ruins it, apparently, for the rest of the missions. I don't know. But see, the way Treyarch got around it is the co-op just doesn't have those missions in it. It lets you play through the missions, you know, as you want, and just doesn't include those as co-opable missions. I think that would satisfy a lot of people.
Yeah, I really think so. But, you know, Infinity Ward is very protective of their, you know, experience, and so is Rockstar. They really want that tightly knit single-player experience that allows them to control anything, and I think the last thing they want is like a Half-Life-style cutscene that's really emotionally gripping, and your co-op partner running around and teabagging someone in the background while you're trying to have an emotional moment or something. So I understand why they do it, but it just seems in these squad-based games, it's really, to me, stupid to not let a second player pop in, even if you have to take control away from the second player to make the cutscenes work.
Yeah.
It's a rough situation, and I'm sure Modern Warfare 2 will be an amazing game even without it, but I really must express my disappointment because I really would have loved to have this.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's see. Next up on the docket, we have the old-school Gunstar Heroes versus Contra rivalry is going to be revived. First up in just about a month, I believe, Contra Rebirth is coming out for WiiWare, which is a... Is it a remake or is it a brand new Contra game, Nick? I can't remember.
I believe it's a remake of the first one. Yes.
So you get to experience the awesome experience of the first Contra again with shiny new updated graphics. And Gunstar Heroes is being tooled up and re-released for Xbox Live Arcade.
And actually PSN too. I thought I added
and
that.
And PSN?
Yeah.
Excellent. And Gunstar Heroes is my favorite run-and-gun shooter of all time. And personally, I adore it a lot more than I love Contra, even though I am a big fan of Contra. Simply because of the... Well, there's two reasons. One is the combination of weapons you can get. You know, getting the rapid shot and homing and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that you have a life bar.
Yeah.
You can't take, you know, a ton of hits in Gunstar Heroes. But the fact that you don't have to be 100% perfect the entire way through the level in order to make it to the end of the level, it sits really high on my list of convenient gaming conventions. Where do you fall, Nick?
No, I agree. I mean, I like shoot 'em up games like I mentioned earlier about like Raiden Fighter Aces, where yeah, it is a one shot one kill kind of a thing, but usually there's some kind of grace period, if that's the right word to use there, where yeah, you might take one shot, but it doesn't immediately kill you. But like mm-hmm. Contra or like Alien Hominid was brutal for it. It's like,
oh yeah,
half a pixel touches your foot and you're dead kind of a thing. I don't know. That just frustrates me more than makes it enjoyable. So I'm happy. Gunstar Heroes was one of my favorite games growing up as well. And it's going to have the online co-op with it, which will be great.
Yeah, the only thing that could possibly wreck it for me is the fact that it's not, at least as far as I understand, it's not coming with anything other than the online co-op. No, they didn't decide to redo the graphics or anything. They're just up-resing the Genesis game into 720p and throwing it out there.
I'm pretty sure they're having the same studios that did like Streets of Rage 2, Golden Axe, a few of their other ones. They were only $5 titles, and the online works fine. Like, I've never had any problem with lag or anything with the online play in those. So that's I'm happy with that. I'm willing to pay $5 for that.
I'm willing to pay $5 to roll a dice with you in that one level.
Yeah. Forgot about
all right.
That.
The economic downturn claims two more studios this week with the closure of Factor 5, you know, makers of Lair and the Rogue Squadron games, who they ran into trouble back in, what, January, you know, in the initial round of this, but they axed most of their staff, but were still being manned by a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And, well, they're finally gone. I bid them a fond adieu, and wish them luck in their future endeavors. 3D Realms bit the dust, along with it, the hopes and dreams of a million Duke Nukem fans. And boy, has this one gotten nasty. They are being sued by Take-Two,
yeah,
who was their publisher, and they're claiming that they never received any money from Take-Two. And it's just a royal mess, but the worst part about it is that in the wake of their demise, a flood of information on Duke Forever finally appeared online, and though it was about as incomplete and rough as you would expect it to be based on the legacy of the game, there was actually a lot of cool-looking stuff hidden in there,
yeah.
And I'm extremely disappointed that I'm not going to be able to, you know, relive my... Geez. How old were you when Duke Nukem 3D came out, Nick? I know I was in 7th grade.
I was probably 14. 14 yeah. or 15, maybe. All I know is I remember a day... We're gonna go back to yesteryear, a time when online services used 28.8 modems, and I sadly had an AOL account.
Oh.
And I can remember logging on to AOL after playing Duke Nukem 3D and reading about 3D Realms' next great project, and it wasn't Duke Nukem Forever. It was Prey.
Prey,
yep. And that actually saw the light of day like 3 years ago, so I had hope that, yeah, Duke Nukem Forever might actually come out, but nope. And one interesting thing, though, I actually learned something in all this, and it was from that Take-Two lawsuit that was filed, because they actually sued Apogee. And I didn't understand how the whole Apogee 3D Realms relationship worked, but basically 3D Realms was just an Apogee name, right?
Right.
It wasn't... I guess it was part of the company, but Apogee always owned them, and I didn't realize that. So that's pretty interesting. Because yes. Apogee made like Rise of the Triad, which was always one of my favorite games.
And Raptor. Which is awesome.
Yeah. They had a lot of good games back in the day. I mean, they were the original ones that made Duke Nukem, the side-scrolling games.
Right.
So I'm really sad because, you know, as much as they were the butt of everyone's jokes, you know, every year the Vaporware Awards would come up and everybody knew it was Duke Nukem Forever. Actually, it was always like they'd have a first place and then they'd be like, oh, yeah, Duke Nukem Forever, too. It's like,
yeah.
I hope something happens. The source code or whatever gets picked up, the assets, and, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, we actually will see a title.
Yeah. Here's hoping. Wish everybody, once again, the best of luck, and may the best of everything come out of this situation, but it's not looking bloody likely at the moment.
No.
So now we've got a couple quick stories to relate. The Star Trek, is it DAC or DAC?
I guess, I don't know, I think it's DAC.
So anyway, there is a Kobayashi Maru achievement, and any dyed-in-the-wool Star Trek fan will know the reference, but it requires a cheat code to earn, and that's one of the most meta achievements I've ever seen in a game, coming in second place to the Dishwasher's Peter Moore achievement, which is probably the funniest achievement I've ever seen, and if you don't know what that is... was it Rock Band or Guitar Hero
that he was playing? It was Rock Band.
He was playing Rock Band at an E3.
It was actually
when they announced.
I was gonna say that was actually the very first like press conference that I ever gone to, and I got to witness that. And it was just like everyone was like they didn't know if they should laugh or not, and then like he did it like a couple times during it, and then people just started laughing.
So anyway, what he did. Was they were announcing the timed exclusivity of Rock Band for the 360, and he's up on stage, you know, jamming out embarrassingly, and he hits the guide button in the middle of the guitar solo, if I remember, and he did it more than once, and it was really funny, and everyone said, oh, what a stuffy executive tries to play his own products. Nothing good can come from this. So the dishwasher comes out, and there's a few parts in the game when you'll find a guitar lying on the ground. And if you have a guitar controller hooked up, you can actually play it Guitar Hero style, the little mini game that pops up. Well, as you're doing this event, if you press the guide button, you get an achievement called the Peter Moore Award. And I just busted up laughing when I earned that one. So anyway, Kobayashi Maru, you know, Captain Kirk cheated on the test and won. And you have to cheat to get the achievement. So, huzzah. There is a new wave of Xbox 360 Platinum Hits titles coming out. And, you know, the usual $19.99 price point for, you know, games and series like this. But we've got three good co-op titles up for grabs with the original Gears of War, Army of Two, and Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
And I forget what else is there, but come on, you only care about the co-op.
I looked at the list. There's like 60-some games now in that Platinum lineup. So it's pretty good
deal. Good way to fill your back catalog, yeah, if you ask me. And Castle Crashers is nearing 1 million players on the leaderboard. The Behemoth is running a contest you can find over at their site, thebehemoth.com. I'm very happy about this because that means a lot of people are playing one of my favorite games from last year. And I could talk about Castle Crashers forever. So we're going to go ahead and take a little break here. We don't have a 5-minute game review this week, but we do have a soapbox topic that we'd like to talk about. So once we get back from the break, we will be discussing the pros and cons of music games.
Ooh.
And now a peek into the universally acclaimed internet audio whimsy, the Fudcast. So I'm going to the mall to go get a game, and I'm wandering around, and I decided on getting a copy of Animal Crossing. So I take the game over to the guy, and he's trying not to laugh at me. So I ask him, hey, dude, what's the problem? And he's like, nothing. You just look a little old to be in the third grade.
Well, apparently he knows what a lot of third graders like, I guess. What'd you tell him?
I told him I hoped his mother died like those guys in Indiana Jones.
Which guys?
When they open the ark.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hopefully.
Fudcast, in-depth game analysis every other Sunday at GameRadio.us.
And we are back, and Nick is going to lead us off on the soapbox topic for this week, where we talk about the article currently on the site, the Great Music Game Content Debate, that Mark is writing, and Nick and I just can't keep our mouths shut, and we have to talk about it, so let's get going.
We have very big mouths that we must constantly flap. So,
yes.
Mark's come up with a great editorial, and basically what it does is it looks at music games that are becoming ever so popular and ever so frequent. And because of that, he's looking at the pros and cons of basically the two models that we're seeing out there now. And, you know, he's referring to them basically because both companies are doing it two different ways. You have MTV, EA doing the downloadable content path. Basically, they're trying to extend their games through downloadable content, and Activision is taking Guitar Hero and just releasing, while they're doing downloadable stuff, they're also doing disc stuff as well, and they're doing it very, very frequently, and they're doing tons of special versions of the game and stuff. So his first part of the article examines the disc base, the pros and cons of it, because there are good and bad things with it. I don't want to, let's not, I want you to know, I'm not going to talk about what he writes. I want you guys to go check it out, give the article a read, because he makes some really good points, and I don't want to put words in his mouth. But for me personally, the pros of disc content is you're going to have that with you all the time, right? It's easy, it's portable, you know, you can bring it to a friend's house if you buy, like Guitar Hero Greatest Hits or Smash Hits, whatever it's going to be called, where it takes like the best songs from all the previous Guitar Hero games and adds in the other instrument tracks. That's something you can bring to a friend's house and stuff. So that's a pretty good bonus right there. Same thing for the Guitar Hero folks, they're putting out a lot of these special editions with, like, they have Guitar Hero Van Halen, Metallica, they did Aerosmith, I think I saw another one rumored.
Pearl Jam. But that was Rock Band.
That's Rock Band. Yeah, they're doing, well, actually, that's like a special project. And that's actually an online thing, if I remember correctly. Anyway, but the kind of cool thing with that is you can kind of tailor the game to fit the band. Like, you know, they have, like, the models to look like the actual band models and things like that. And we haven't really seen that from the Rock Band downloadable content to really extend it that far now. The Rock Band folks are making the Beatles Rock Band game that's coming out this fall, which is the first of their kind. So they're not, you know, they're not so innocent in the whole thing. And even though the really great thing about Rock Band is all your Rock Band 1 songs work in Rock Band 2, all the content you downloaded with 1 works in 2. So they're up to an obscene amount of songs you can have in one game. I mean, it's like 600-some songs now. So that's always a big bonus. Is one better than the other? I tend to lean towards the downloadable content one because you can pick and choose exactly what you want. You're not paying $60 a pop. You're not buying a whole freaking set of 4 plastic instruments again, take up more space. So yeah, I mean, that's my thoughts on it. I don't know about you, Mike. What do you think?
I have a few thoughts about this. I'm really for the downloadable content-based version that Rock Band uses because I don't like buying the same game multiple times. And I know I've said before on this podcast that I play Dynasty Warriors every now and then, so I guess I'm a bit of a hypocrite. But for a game that is essentially songs and an interface to play with them, I'm not looking at the background. I'm looking at my fretboard. Maybe, you know, an updated version will be more interesting for other people in the room to look at, but for me, the fun of the game is mastering the songs and playing with your friends. And if you got 4 players going on Rock Band, that screen is covered with scrolling notes. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't care if I'm playing a Rush song and I see a digital avatar of Geddy Lee shrieking on stage. It that doesn't do anything for me. What I like is that I can buy my core bit and have a bunch of songs that I can take with me and just go party with friends. And if I really wanted to have something that was downloaded, I can, you know, port my gamer tag over to a friend's machine and take the 30 seconds it takes to pull down a Rock Band song, because you can re-download them all. They're in your history. So you can still, you know, it's a little less convenient, but you can still kind of tailor everything the same way when you bring it with you. The other thing is, I already have an ungodly number of plastic instruments. I bought Guitar Hero, I bought Guitar Hero 2, I bought Rock Band, I bought Rock Band 2. So I have 4 guitars right now, 5 technically. I had one break. Drums, microphone, and I'm just running out of space for these. And I'm sure that stores are not happy with the amount of space these things take up because, well, the Guitar Hero method means that every edition of the game has to be someone's first version of it. And they put out enough of these that they have to put a guitar pack version of every one of these games out. And that's plastic guitar after plastic guitar after plastic guitar taking up space on retail shelves. And yeah, Rock Band has that thing too, but, you know, Rock Band's, you know, one SKU right now. There's only, you know, there's the special edition for the 3 different systems, but it's all Rock Band.
Yeah.
And it's not Rock Band, you know, Metallica, Rock Band Van Halen, Rock Band Aerosmith, Rock Band Rocks the 80s, yeah. Like, you know, the Guitar Hero brand has done. And the other thing is, to me, it dilutes the brand. You know, these games, the Rock Band is based on selling you a system, essentially, and providing you with a constant stream of content for said system. So once you have it, you're constantly given new reasons to go back and play it. And I really like that, because I can set it down for 4 months, come back when I got a bunch of friends over, everybody whips out their credit card, and we spend 20, 25 bucks and download a bunch of new songs that, you know, just came out that I might not have had before. And it still allows for the same, you know, you can find new bands the same way you do when you're exposed to it in the tour mode that comes on the disc. I don't really see an advantage to having 20 different discs for that. And really, I mean, come on. It dilutes the brand when every other thing out there says Guitar Hero on it.
Well, this fall is going to be atrocious for retailers because there's going to be the Beatles Rock Band game, which comes out in early September, but we're going to have Guitar Hero Smash Hits, Guitar Hero 5, Guitar Hero Van Halen, and then DJ Hero, which will be another plastic instrument. I mean, it's just... Oh, and there's the casual one, the
Band Hero.
Band Hero. That's just this fall. I mean, that's obscene. I mean,
and multiply all those by each system they're on.
I don't know. Activision is just, but Bobby Kotick is out of his mind.
The horse is not only dead; the horse is now undead and is haunting us.
Yeah, Bobby Kotick is riding the undead horse,
like the the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've ranted a bit about why music games are, the death of many things, including our sanity, let's move on to the question of the Fortnite. We have a reader question who actually posted in our mega thread. Thank you. Sonny Corley, I'm assuming he was typing Sonny Corleone and just forgot to finish it. asks what our ideal co-op game would be if we could have it built by any game developer. Nick?
Mine's pretty simple. I'm still waiting for a true co-op GTA game. And I want Rockstar to make it because they make really, really good GTA games. I think that the potential has always been there to have a really solid experience. We've seen a couple other open world games do the same thing, and it's pretty close, and they're a lot of fun, but they miss out usually on the story and the dialogue and things like that, and that's the stuff that Rockstar always nails. So I'd really love to see them pull their resources and actually make one like that.
What about Rockstar's storytelling ability combined with Crackdown?
That'd be awesome.
would your heart explode in anticipation?
I think it would. Yeah. Awesome.
I'm gonna pull out my standard answer for things like this, and that I would beg and beg and beg for Valve to make a co-op Portal and a co-op Half-Life episode, or maybe have Half-Life 3 have co-op in it. I just think that, especially the episodes when you have Alex running around with you all the time, like, yes, they've used her for drama, but I just think that the way that they develop the games in that series would be really ripe for having co-op puzzles or boss fights where two players have to do two different things to beat it, or make the vehicle sections not suck quite as much and let someone else man the turret and one person concentrate on driving. There's so many things about Half-Life that would work so well with co-op. I think that they would not only be able to innovate in that regard, but actually take their first-person interactive cutscenes and tailor them for two players. I bet they could do it if they tried, and that would be incredibly awesome. And the only other thing I would ask for is an English translation of Second Densetsu 3 and put it on the DS, because Secret of Mana was awesome and Second Densetsu 3 is also awesome, which is the sequel that came out in Japan but not here. And it had co-op just like the first, and it's really fun, and I want it. I don't like using fan translations unless they're all I have to do. And that's the case here. So anyway, guys, get on it. Nick and I both, these demands are not...
They're not difficult.
They're not difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, the second one I made is a game that already exists. And we all know Square's quick to, slap a port of anything these days, so why not? Come on, guys. It makes sense. Anywho, that's going to just about do it for us this week. We have a few upcoming co-op releases. We're a little light. And one of them may not be accurate, but this coming Tuesday, we have Terminator Salvation for the 360 and PS3. And on the 30th, which is a Saturday, which makes me think this may not be correct, the Cowboy Shooter Damnation for 360 and PS3 as well. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
I just checked Amazon. Amazon has it the 26th. So yeah.
26th? Okay, yeah. That makes a little more sense. Maybe we should update our database to reflect that.
I will do that.
Awesome. As always, we have a bunch of really awesome features done by our staff around the site. For instance, we finally reviewed Crackdown, Space Invaders Extreme, and if you're really into pain, we talk a little bit more about Onichanbara Bikini Samurai Squad.
Let it go.
And, you know, we have some extra features. For instance, Mark's article, which we referenced earlier, The Great Music Game Debate Part 1. Related to that, we have another guest co-op couples article, Rocking Out Part 1, and a co-op interview of Space Invaders Extreme, where we talked to the art director.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tells us a few things, like the Space Invaders all have names, and we didn't know that, which I guess makes us terrible nerds. Anyway, if you like our show and you get us on iTunes, please leave some feedback. It may or may not put money in our pockets, but it always gets us more listeners, which might drive more people to the site, which is always a good thing. So please do that. I haven't checked in on you guys lately, so you got a pass this week. But if I look next week and we don't have any more reviews, I may have to whip Nick. You know, it just has to happen. And you can follow us on Twitter at CoOptimus. And Nick can tell you about all the awesome, wonderful things that we do there.
Yeah, we actually just gave away, what was it, code for Space Invaders Extreme on Twitter on, I think it was Friday, this past Friday. I don't know, it's a way to keep up with what's going on in the co-op world. We've done a couple, been trying to do some different things, actually, where we pose, like, questions to Twitter and get responses back and kind of do some stuff with that, so follow us. Tell your friends to follow us. Tell your friends' friends.
Or hey, just mention a co-op game and we might follow you automatically because we're creepy like that.
Yeah. Really quick side note. Twitter has become so mainstream that I was watching Desperate Housewives tonight with my wife and they mentioned Twitter on there. We might have to move off Twitter soon.
I have nothing to say about that other than an expression of abject horror that you actually watched Desperate Housewives.
I'm a good husband.
Did you have a woodchuck with you?
I did not. I'm all out of woodchuck, man.
You're all out.
I gotta get more.
Yeah, you do. And then you gotta move on to something that someone of your gender might actually drink.
Bah! End the podcast.
And we're going to end the podcast on blatant sexism. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.